Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we are able to be here this morning to hear your word. And Lord, we pray that as we listen to your word, that we don't only just hear it come through our ears, but it goes to our mind. And Lord, that we're able to process what we hear today. And Lord, that it filters into our hearts so that we can live our lives for you in this world. We ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be going on in our minds right now so that we can sit and listen to your word and hear that word. And Lord, that we are equipped here, refreshed here today to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, have any of you ever experienced a time in your life where, you know, you just thought that there was just no way to get out? I mean, you felt like the circumstance that you were in, that you found yourself in, there was no way out, or there was maybe even no way to improve or get better at what you were doing. And I experienced this. I know this is very minor compared to some circumstances that people deal with in life, but it was a pretty big deal at this particular time in my life. When I graduated from high school, I went to Cisco Junior College, and I was taking a history class. And I mean, it didn't seem to matter how hard I tried, what I did, how much effort I put into projects, papers, tests, quizzes, I could not make above a 70. That was not me. I was an AB student in high school, and I tried extremely hard, but it didn't matter if I turned in a book report, 70. If I turned in a quiz, 70. If I turned in a test, 70. And I finally got irritated enough that I wanted to look at one of my friend's tests, and we compared them, and our answers were almost identical. And I had a 70, and he had a 96. And so I felt like I was hemmed in almost, that it didn't matter what effort or lack of effort that I put into anything, I was automatically going to get a 70. Now, I know that sounds kind of trivial compared to some of the circumstances that we deal with in life. And I know that many of you have experienced things where it seems like, you know, what is going on? It seems like you're surrounded on all sides and that there's no way out. It might be an illness. It might be a tragedy. It might be a financial struggle. It might be a relationship issue that people deal with. And it just seems like there's no way out. It just seems like everything is crushing in on you. You're surrounded, completely surrounded. This is really a situation and a circumstance that Paul, in my mind, is warning Timothy about in his second letter to him, which was our epistle reading for this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, this is what Paul says to Timothy. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I think he could have written that right now today. I mean, we deal with this all around us. And, you know, I've thought, you know, if there's not a time that's any better than to hear these words, we think today is worse than ever. And it may be, but it's always been. I mean, if we go back to the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, what did the serpent do to Eve? He filled her with a bunch of myths. He said, did God really tell you that you shouldn't eat of this fruit? Satan goes on to say, what he really means is he doesn't want you to eat it, because if you eat it, you're going to be like who? Like him, like God. He deceived her. He filled her with a bunch of lies, and she bought into it and ate the fruit. By the way, guys, Adam was standing right there beside her, and he didn't even try to stop her. You know, I've had guys tell me before, yeah, it was Eve's fault. I have to point out to him, Adam was standing right next to her. And I've always wondered what was going through Adam's mind. Was he sitting there thinking, I want to watch and see if she really dies? You know, I don't know what was going through his mind. They really probably didn't know what death was at that point, but anyway. But you know, and then you even move on into the Bible. We get to the Tower of Babel. You know, the people, you know, following God, and now they're falling away from him, and they don't even care about God anymore, because they say, this is what they say, we want to make a name for ourselves when they're building that tower. I mean, and we go on to the wilderness, and the Israelite people are constantly complaining, grumbling about God. And so this issue of listening to lies, being deceitful, listening to myths has always been there. And it's always been there in our history, our current history. And I know the thoughts have always been there, but in my mind, a lot of those thoughts now, what people used to think and kind of keep to themselves, it's just blatantly thrown about. If you think about our country was founded for religious freedom. I mean, people left Europe, all of those other countries, to come here because there was religious freedom here. And now, there's religious freedom. Everybody can speak about their religion except for Christianity. Our legal system was founded on moral and ethical principles that come right from the Bible, but they're irrelevant today. We have In God We Trust on our currency. We have the Ten Commandments on federal, state, county, local government buildings. But yet people want all that removed. In our schools, where we used to be able to, at the opening of the day, pray in Jesus' name, has now been turned into what? A moment of silence. But praise God, we still have that, right? How long is it going to be before that's taken away? And as we look in general over society, we are being filled with myths. People are gathering for themselves teachers who say what they want to hear. There is no more an absolute truth. And it's easy for us to point this direction and that direction, but what about our own personal lives? You know, there's a lot of immoral living going on. And we call that an alternative lifestyle. There's babies that are being aborted by the thousands, and we call that pro-choice. There's filth coming into our homes through the internet and through the TV, and we just sit by and just accept it as normal. Our lives are full of sin. Our country is full of sin. And it seems like at some times that we're surrounded on all sides. And I sometimes wonder, is there any way out of this mess? Is there any way out? And Paul warned Timothy that this is going to happen. There's going to be people that are going to come. They're going to tell these lies. They're going to teach these false teachings. They're going to tell you myths and promote them as truth. And we're in the midst of that. And what do we do? We're so gullible, we just eat it all up. And you know what's even the saddest part for me is there's even church bodies today, Christian church denominations that promote all of these things that we talked about. And then there's even biblical scholars that'll say, Jesus wasn't really the Son of God. Jesus really didn't die. He didn't perform all the miracles. He wasn't raised to life. And what do people do? They eat it up. Our world is full of sin. Our lives are full of sin. But you know, in the midst of all of this sinfulness, and as bad as what we think it is today, Jesus came and lived right in our world. And no matter the magnitude that we think our world, the sinfulness is, Jesus came and died for that. He died for the world's sins. He died for our sins. He took the punishment that we all deserve for this sinfulness that's going on in the world today, so that we wouldn't have to experience it. You know, I'm going to say that we as Christians have never lived in a better time than what we live today. And you may think I'm crazy, but just hold on. Because here's what I want to say. We are surrounded on all sides by evil. And we have been called to be witnesses of who Jesus is. And that's what really Paul is reminding Timothy of in the other portions of this text for today. 2 Timothy, beginning in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work." And then he says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." You know what I think Paul is preparing Timothy for? He's not saying there's none of this going to happen. He's saying that there's temptations, there's trials, there's struggles, there's false teachings, there's all of these things going on in the world. But you, remain faithful. Hold on to the teachings of God. It is the true Word of God. And what I mean by we've never lived in a better time in our lives is because while we are surrounded on all sides by evil, false teachings, myths, guess what? It doesn't matter which direction we turn, there is somewhere that we can share the good news of Jesus. Think about that. I mean, there is not one single place in our world today that doesn't need to know about the truth of God's Word. So everywhere we turn, we have an opportunity to share God's love. The dilemma is, it's not that easy, right? And the dilemma that we may find ourselves in is sometimes it's easy to be drawn in to those myths, those false teachings, the temptations that come our way. I found it interesting that this ties in. Maybe we'll see how good the confirmation kids are this morning. We've been going over the Lord's Prayer. And believe it or not, if you don't remember about the Lord's Prayer, there is an introduction to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." There is a conclusion to it. There's seven petitions in between that introduction and conclusion. The sixth petition, and if you didn't know this, the small catechism, Luther's small catechism, is printed in the front of our hymnal. It's on page 324. So if you would like to turn there and look at page 324, the sixth petition is, "And lead us not into temptation." And what I want to read what Luther wrote If you don't remember this, Luther always said, "What does this mean?" And so this is what he said that this sixth petition means. God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. I believe this is what he's exactly warning Timothy about. Remain faithful. Stand strong in the midst of these attacks. But foremost, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. I pray that God gives us the strength to stand firm, to stand firm in what we believe. Don't follow those myths. Don't follow those false teachings. But turn to God's Word and understand the truth for your life. And we know that one day we will all be with Him in heaven and we won't have to worry about any of this stuff that's going on right now. But until then, may He strengthen us for each day. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.